Arjuna asks a question as to what happens after death and how, O Bhagavan, can I remember you at the time of death? So Bhagavan Sri Krishna first talks in the first few verses about who he is, that he is the whatever the matter you see, the spirit, the illumining consciousness, and the one that receives all the yajna. Adhi Bhutam, Adhi Daiva, Adhi Yajna, all I am. And then Bhagavan then tells us about creation, how from the unmanifest, the manifest world came out. And we heard about Brahmaji's day, Brahmaji's creation. And then Bhagavan says, beyond this manifest world, there is the unmanifest that we call as Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha. And even beyond that is the supreme unmanifest, which we call as Brahman, and which will be addressed in the 9th chapter. Then we heard about the two paths to spiritual growth or spiritual pursuit. One is the path of the sun, and the other is the path of the moon. The path of the sun is said to be the higher path. The path of the moon is one that takes us to heaven, and then the person returns, while in the path of the sun, the individual does not return. Some authors have also described the path of the sun as being the path of unselfishness and the path of the moon as being sense pleasures. When we say sun and moon, it does not mean that the moon is somehow inferior. In fact, the moon is a heavenly body and is worshipped in our scriptures. Bhagavan himself says in the 15th chapter, Pushnami Chaushadhi Sarvaha Somo Bhutva Rasatmakaha. So Bhagavan says, I am the moon and I nourish all plants. All herbs are nourished by me. In fact, a lot of the Vedic or the Ayurvedic medicines are made in the light of the moon, because the moon is the nourishing body. Also scientifically, if the moon was not there, there would be no life on earth. It is because of the moon that the earth maintains a constant connection with the sun. If the moon was not there, one part of the earth would be facing the sun permanently, would get burnt, and the other part would permanently be facing away from the sun and would get frozen. So even scientifically, the moon has a lot of significance. And also for Shiva Bhaktas, they worship the moon because the crescent moon is on Lord Shiva's head, adorns his head. So when we say path of the sun and the moon, what Bhagavan means is the path of light and darkness, the path of evolution and the path of sense pleasures or return. So that's what we'll address, these two paths, as the path of the light and the path of darkness, the path of evolution and the path of regression. Before I start, can you click on your chat at the bottom of the screen? Are you able to see the typing on the right hand side that Neeru is doing when you click on the chat? Because I follow that, and if you think it will help, you can also follow. Do you see the typing on the right side of the screen? Yes?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, okay, so that's what we use, so that way you can follow what we are doing. So that at least helps me, and I always do that in my class at the mission, so I thought we'll practice the same. So we'll do verse number 26 today. These are the last three verses of the 8th chapter, which will end today, and next week we'll start the 9th chapter. So Jayashri can please chant chapter 8, verse number 26. Shukla Krishne Gati Hete.
Shukla Krishne Gati Hete.
Jagatashashvate Mate.
Jagatashashvate Mate.
Ekaya Yatyana Vrittim.
Ekaya Yatyana Vrittim.
Anyaya Vartate Punaha.
Anyaya vartate punaha.
Shukla krishne gati hete jagata shashvate mate ekaya yatyana vrittim anyaya vartate punaha.
So Shukla Krishna, so Shukla and Krishna, the bright and the dark paths. Gati, so the bright path and the dark path, he ate, these two, indeed, here when he says he means indeed, jagata shashvate mate. Mate means it is considered by all scholars, all authorities, that in the world, in the jagata, they are shashvata, they are eternal. So both of these paths are eternal. It's not that one was before the other, they were both, have always been there. Ekaya yati anavrittim. Ekaya, in on one path, that is the path of the bright path. Anavrittim, there is no return. And anyaya, and in the other, the dark path, avartate punaha, returns punaha again. So these two paths are read as the secular and the sacred path. The secular path is the path of materialism, and the sacred path is the path of spirituality. So in the path of materialism, we find that the people are indulging in the sense organs or are interested in basically their material growth. How can I grow materially? And in the sacred path, it is how can I evolve higher, go upwards, and evolve spiritually. So we have all heard of the seven chakras, and I was reading one of the commentaries how the seven chakras represent the two paths. So as we know, the lowest three chakras, the sacral chakra, the Mooladhara, and the Swadhisthan, and the one of the belly button, the Manipura. So the groin, the belly button, and the tailbone, these three chakras are the lower chakras, which are involved in worldly activities, that is eating, you know, drinking, procreation, excretion. And as long as we are involved only in worldly activities, we are in the three chakras, you know, roti, kapda, makan, what they say, food, shelter, clothing, are all connected with the lower chakra. So eating is connected with all the others and all our sense pleasures and everything. And no matter how much we may achieve, we are still in this seven chakra. You build a huge company, you have multiple branches, still in the seven chakras. You have your private plane, you have your homes and different, still in the seven chakras. Your 401k, pension plan, stock, everything is in the lower three chakras. And the 99.9% of us do all our activities involved in the lowest three chakras. Very few people evolve to the higher chakras. So after the three, the fourth comes the anahat or the heart chakra. And that chakra represents love. So people say, oh, I love my family, I love my wife, my children, my dog. No, love has to be beyond me, myself, and my family. As long as I am just loving only people that are close to me, I am restricting this fourth chakra, this heart chakra. It has to extend to people whom I don't even know, people whom I have never met, people who have nothing to do with, but still if I can love them, and love does not only mean loving, but also working for the benefit of those. So if when I am able to do things for others, for example, what we have done with CORD, where we are supporting these children with in Sri Lanka, whom we have never met, we don't know who they are, we don't know what they are doing, or Ekal Vidyalaya, any of such, when we do such activities, you are rising into the fourth chakra. Above that is the Vishuddhi chakra or the throat chakra, which represents knowledge. And knowledge is not quantum physics or chemistry or biology or science. It is spiritual knowledge. So one who has the spiritual knowledge, has learnt it from his or her guru, has understood it and abides in that knowledge and practices that knowledge, then it is said such a person is opening his Vishuddhi chakra, where this knowledge then becomes part of your life. It does not remain only book knowledge, but becomes part of my life. So if you want to evolve to that, you have to have this right knowledge and then apply that. Then the sixth chakra is the Agnya chakra, the third chakra of Lord Shiva, which is the eye of knowledge, which is also called as chakra of Krishna consciousness, chakra of Christ consciousness. So it is the place where our knowledge becomes one with God, but this is still God with form. So the Sagun Upasana, or the when we are doing that, then when we become one with that, so the oneness with the Supreme Lord in form is the sixth chakra, where then what happens is not only I become one with form, I see God all the time, I am in God's presence, but I see God everywhere, among all people, all situations, and that is called the sixth chakra, the Agnya chakra. And there are very few enlightened masters who have opened the seventh chakra or connected with that, which is called the Sahasra chakra, where you become one with for the formless, where then that formless alone is everywhere, and this individuality, there is no duality, but there is only oneness. So that is how we can see that how we can evolve from the lower chakras, from me, myself, to love, to knowledge, to become one with God in form, and then become one with God formless. So that is the two paths we can see within our own body. And as we said, both paths are eternal. Right from when did the creation first start? People say, when was the first one created? We don't know, because creation is anadi, beginningless. This is not the first creation. You know, this each yuga is supposed to last 4 billion years, each day of Brahmaji, and then Brahmaji's night is another 4.3 billion years. And then before that, again, there was another Brahmaji and then another Brahmaji. So we don't know when the first creation started. And each one of us has gone through multiple births, through different, that was they say, 84 lakh yoni, 8.4 million births, starting from protozoa, from amoeba, all the way up to the human birth. And then even going higher, maybe becoming celestial beings like devas and so on. And so this creation is eternal. The reason both paths are mentioned and highlighted is because one has to be very cautious. Even I may be in the fourth or the fifth chakra, I may be spiritually evolving, growing, learning, practicing spirituality, praying, meditating. And I may even be in Sarvikalpa Samadhi, where I am one with the God with form, or Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where I am one with formless. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, of course, is enlightenment. Once one goes there, the seventh chakra, one doesn't come back. But in the fourth and fifth chakra, it is very possible that one could fall back. And so one has to be very cautious while we are living our life, that temptations may come, wrong ideas may come, thoughts may come. The mind is always, one has to be very alert, because we don't know when the mind will go downward. And so one has to be very conscious, very cautious, and a constant practice of unselfishness. As long as I am practicing self-will, where I, myself, and whatever I want should go, then such a person is said to be still in the lower chakras. But as I become unselfish, as I give to others, as I contribute, then it becomes more spiritually evolutionary. Also, as we get older, what we find that if we have been following a particular path, we become very rigid, and people say, this is how I have always been doing it. But that should not be an excuse. Even if I have been doing wrong things right from the beginning, it's never too late to change. And that is the idea of this knowledge, that when I study the Bhagavad Gita, when I listen to the Lord's teachings, then I should be willing to change and willing to improve. And also as we get older, we find that the things that we used to get away with as youth, we cannot get away with anymore. I cannot eat as I want to. I cannot enjoy as I want to. I cannot. So as we get older, our life becomes more and more difficult. And as we get older, that's why they say as you get older, you should slowly withdraw. Because if you still think that, oh, whatever I was doing as a youth, I can still do that. I can still eat, drink, enjoy, have fun. Then what that's going to do is your body is going to deteriorate faster. Your mind is going to deteriorate faster. So as we get older, one should spend more and more time in spiritual pursuits, in satsang, in meeting with saints, in reading good books, and spend less time in the world. You know, the children and grandchildren, whatever they have been doing, let them keep doing it. I should spend more time with God. So that is why these two paths have been mentioned by Bhagwan, that they are eternal. And in the path of the darkness, there is return into the world. And in the path of light, there is no return. So when we practice, the darkness does not only necessarily mean ignorance, but say one who is doing good deeds, but is doing it for sense pleasures, that may I enjoy a lot in heaven by doing good, I may get a lot of good things happen to me and then I may go to heaven, and that is good, there's nothing wrong with that, but then you will return to the earth. But one who has practiced this karma with upasana, that is activities with worship, goes to Brahma Loka, and that we'll talk about in the next verse, between the two paths.